This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Raise Your Game. I'm Christine Wong. Digitalization has become all the rage nowadays, with companies left, right, and center jumping on the bandwagon in the wake of the pandemic. But when it comes to digital learning, is this something that is actually truly sustainable, or will we just be reverting back to what worked before? Today, I have Nagesh Arman, COO of Leaderonomics' digital learning experience platform, Nicole, to shed some light on if digital learning is a passing fad or a crucial future. So I think before we get started real quick, just to contextualize a little bit, What is Nicole? What are you working on? What is this?
Right. So I think the last time we spoke was about a year ago. That's when I actually kind of dipped my foot into this. So it was formerly a learning experience platform incubator that we were creating as part of Leaderonomics Digital. So we were actually going about trying to determine how best to go into market with this. And like exactly you said, right? Digital learning was all the fad and we were trying to figure out. But this was actually something we started back in 2019. But then it kind of worked out. We figured out the best way to go into market with this. So hence now Nicole is a blended learning or tech-enabled blended learning solutions company. Yes, company. So we are actually making it a company by itself because there's market viability for this and the method that we're doing. So that's what Nicole is. And here I am right now leading the business itself.
Brilliant, brilliant. And so obviously today we're going to be talking about digital learning that is part of your whole experience and now how you're shaping Nicole. That's the whole thesis behind it, right? So I think let's just start with the first thing, which is the definition of what digital learning actually means.
Right. Okay. So it is as literal as it can become. Learning delivered through a digital medium, which you interface via a computer-based device. Mm. So that is a definition of digital learning. So now the last part there is actually a very key point, because I think recently, because of the pandemic and all that, and everybody going on the internet and using all these internet services, people have kind of linked digital learning to internet learning. Not wrong, but that's not the whole story either. Mm. Digital learning, it's comes in various forms. Like, think about it. A Word doc, slides, SCORM modules, those interactive modules that you do, something on a learning platform, AI, AR, VR, all these things are forms of digital learning. So it is actually a lot more than most people think. And they've actually been interacting with digital learning for a lot longer than everyone actually realized.
Mm. And I think also it's important to note that it's not purely academic, right? I think that's also another misconception where you think about digital Definitely. Learning, you think about kids in school. Now they've got Chromebooks or iPads or whatever they have, you know, but it's not just relegated to purely the academic study of it. Everyone in their day-to-day lives now, I mean, I think it's a fact, right? Going digital is part of human life irrevocably now. And no matter, exactly. So no matter what you're learning, as long as it's related in some way to being utilized on a digital platform, that's digital learning, right?
I would say this, like, think about what you do on YouTube. Mm. If you see something interesting, let's say you want to learn cooking, right? Mm-hmm. Or you want to cook a particular dish. You're going to go on YouTube and you're going to look at a video and you're going to follow the video. Mm-hmm. That's digital learning.
Yeah, I've done a fair amount of digital learning in my spare time, if that's the case. Yep. So I also wanted to talk about how, you know, you mentioned this actually a little bit earlier, that we've been digitally learning, I suppose, a lot longer than I think people have really realized. So talk to me about that.
All right. So exactly that last answer there is a clue, because it is something that we've been doing for a long time. And that whole definition saying that it's based on a computing device is also very important. Mm. I like to use this example for those who know, those who've watched the movie, even The Imitation Game, the Turing machine.
Right.
The Turing machine was the first form of a computing device that was created to encode or decode the Nazis' Enigma machine.
Mm.
Think about it. It is a form of digital learning, right? That it's digital in form. You are learning something about a message that was decoded, hence digital learning.
Mm.
Now, think back again for those who've actually been in organizations or companies. You are absolutely right when you said that this is not just an academic thing. Mm. Those who've been in organizations and companies from the 90s even to now, you go in and you say, your HR tells you that, look, every month you got to go on this intranet portal and you got to do this, these learnings, and you got to log it in and you got to make sure because it's part of your KPI. That's digital learning as well. It's been around for ages. And university students as well. Actually, think about it, academics started a bit more later when it comes to digital learning compared to professionals, because academics usually, because of requirement of proof, requirement of a validation, the citations, all these things, it was first easier to do with books. That's why libraries were enormous when it comes to university. But then slowly, bit by bit, those materials, those components from the lectures started going into some portal or form. Now, most universities you go into, the entire library is in a portal. You can actually find the books in the portal and read it digitally as well.
Yeah, and I think so, actually just hopping on that point a little bit as well, the interesting thing about that is that it also makes digital learning a lot more accessible, right? I mean, thinking about, for example, you know, you go to university and you have to refer to, it's this specific, I mean, I had this experience. You have to refer to this specific book by this specific publisher and it's this specific edition of this book. And that's how you cite, that's how you write your citations, and it has to be this one because then everyone can check. But like, now that we have so much so many digital resources at our hands, you don't have to go through all these loopholes, and you know, it's all of it is right there and you can click a button and it does it for you, right? So I think that's interesting.
And you have a very nifty tool that has come up, and we call it Googling.
Oh yes,
or the search box. So imagine now a student can go in and just search, okay, I need this particular something along this particular topic. You just type out the topic and there you go. You see the entire list right there.
Yeah.
So absolutely right. It creates accessibility. And the other key thing is it's resource management, right? You don't have to have space to store all these books. You don't have to now go search for all these books. That's energy resource, cost resource as well goes down as well. So digital learning kind of allows that real-time accessibility and scalability for everybody.
Yeah, I think pretty much any time you're Googling something, you're digitally learning.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
If we've been doing this for such a long time anyway, how come it's only kind of now that it started to pop off and become this buzzword in the industries?
All right. I like to use this phrase very often, and need creates want, right? When there's no viable or easy way for you to actually get access to something, that's that creates a very inherent need. But then there's one way you can do that, then that need kind of connects to the want right there. So, you know, we can agree that when it comes to learning and development, it's the best way to move anything, any person, any situation forward in an effective manner. We got to actually get into learning and developing. But what happened in the last 2 years, people were so used to all these classroom deliveries, those 8-hour days, going into these programs, whether academic or professional. That was something that was happening very often before the pandemic. But then when the pandemic hit, there you go, you can't do that anymore. And everyone tried to do that exact same thing virtually. And we kind of already understood, like, look, we can't stare at a screen for 8 hours. We just lose the attention because there's no one else around us. It's just us staring at a screen and trying to feel like we're in a classroom. Just doesn't work. So what was the other way to do it? That's where people started saying, hey, wait a minute. Digital learning was around. Yeah, we have those Courseras, Udemy's and all that. What if we kind of use that to actually do development? And even for university students, can't go into the universities. What if we use these tools now for learning? Hence why it became a buzzword. It's that need creating the want, everyone going towards it. Hence it became something that everyone now is talking about.
So I guess it wasn't exactly the fact that digital learning became, I don't know, it wasn't that we weren't already digitally learning. It was basically that we were suddenly alerted to the fact that we had to figure out a way to make it work better or more effectively. And yeah, I mean, like you said, right? For example, the mere fact that podcasts exist, I mean, that is a form of digital learning that is, you would not think about that traditionally, right? You would think, oh, it's going to be, you know, you're looking at a PDF or you're going through, I don't know, like a Duolingo course online to learn a language. But like, that's what you would traditionally think about when you think about digital learning. But anyone listening to this now, that's also digitally learning. And that doesn't involve looking at a screen necessarily. Yeah. It doesn't involve, you know, necessarily writing anything down or typing anything. You're just absorbing the information, right? So that's like to basically find these alternatives and to find out, you know, how do we utilize the technology that we have in order to, you know, not just mimic the experience of what we would determine as, I guess, traditional learning. We're trying to create this new experience, right, of what it means to be digitally learning.
And you're exactly right there. I think one of the benefits of this pandemic era was exactly just what you said. Typically, people will think digital learning is, oh, I need to go onto this portal and there's this interactive STEM-like thing. I've got to read this. I've got to watch this video. Those were the typical ways that people started thinking about it. But in this past 2 years, you're right. Everyone started now opening their eyes to saying that, look, even these kind of podcasts, even... this is something mentioned quite recently. I was actually interacting with some students and they actually said, look, a format which we use to learn or gain information and understand things, TikTok.
Yes, 100%.
TikTok. 100%. And that is a form of digital learning because there's information being transferred from one person to another. It's educational information. It's things that help you develop and grow. So yes, it's a form. You want to call it social media, sure, but it is a form of digital learning.
Yeah, I mean, like TikTok, Facebook, Twitter. I get so much news from Twitter, for example. TikTok, just today I found out that if you have an iPhone, the Apple logo on the back of your iPhone can become an actual button from TikTok. Like, I mean, it's all this stuff that I think we've really underestimated a lot of these platforms and a lot of these tools that we have at our disposal. And as a result of the pandemic, we're just forced to be like, no, we have to actually acknowledge that these are very useful things for the sake of learning.
That's a very interesting point you're raising there. I'm thinking about it right now. It's now forcing us, if anything, to relook at these mediums, right? Like, take social media before this. It usually was an experience sharing tool. You share experiences with people, your experiences, what's happening in your life, those kind of things. But I think people are also getting tired. There's issues with that when it comes to psychology, when you're looking at somebody else and they are a great life. And so people are questioning, like, what's the value of this? Now, when people shift it around and say that, look, I want to use this as a tool to actually send good information, message, or something that helps somebody else grow. Now it's completely reshaping how social media is supposed to be and asking critical questions as well. Like, look, if one person is saying this, I'm going to look at many other people as well. So hopefully this starts solving that echo chamber problem that comes up in social media where people now use this as a primary or a good resource for them to actually learn and develop something. And especially when you look at that, when your mind starts registering it as learn and develop, immediately you're saying, look, I need to validate this. This cannot be just anything I learn and develop. This must be something everyone agrees with, or it is already been proven by somebody. Then I will believe it. So there's a good effect to this.
100%. All right, it's time to take a short break. But after that, I will continue speaking to Nagesh Aman. He is the COO of Nicole. And we'll be right back on BFM 89.9.
Building Future Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're listening to Raise Your Game on BFM 89.9. I have Nagesh Aman on the line with me. He is the COO of Nicole. Now, Nicole is a digital learning experience platform. It's a sort of spin-off of Leaderonomics. That's why we're talking today, as we do every month. And before the break, we talked a lot about digital learning. What is it? How have we sort of taken it for granted? What have we done to reinvent it recently? Why has it become this massive buzzword? And I think it's fairly clear that we're both passionate about it and we're both pretty much in favor of it. But I do want to put the shoe on the other foot and say, what are the challenges, though, of digital learning?
Right, right. So we first have to kind of frame our minds on how we use it. I think always when something which is perceived as new comes into a market space for people to use, we always kind of assume immediately, like, this is the panacea for everything kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right? So it is that early days. This is early when pandemic hit. I actually saw this happening where people said, like, look, we got to find a different way to kind of do learning and development. So let's go virtual. Let's go digital. Okay, that's going to replace block for block whatever we did in person. No, that's not how it works. It's never that cut and dry, especially when you're trying to adopt something. Think about any technology right now. It is never that cut and dry, which is you immediately take it, it's going to solve a problem.
Yeah.
This is why, where I'll give examples like NFTs, right? NFTs is also another big buzzword right now, but everyone is taking it immediately as, oh, NFT, this is something we can invest in. This is something that actually creates value. This is something that actually is a digital asset that we can actually hold and sell. But it's not a like for like.
Mm-mm.
You can't do it that way. But we have to figure out how to use it. Even when we talk about the metaverse, it's the same thing. It's not immediately you take it, replace it for like real life gatherings or real life spaces. It's not going to be that. We have to figure out how to adopt it in an effective way. Mm. So that was that first challenge, because everyone took it immediately and thought that this is going to solve it. But no, it wasn't, because people are not yet completely ready, or the formats were not completely ready for people to adopt it. Mm-hmm. So for example, the early days when we really started using digital learning massively, there were these huge, long courses. There was this heavily written experiences that people went into. And immediately we knew it's not a like for like of reading a book versus actually seeing it online. There's this theory of your hand to brain, right? There's this theory of hand to brain. This is why books work, because your hand is on the book. Your hand is flipping the page, right? You are actually physically doing something. And that kind of links to your brain for you to, when you're reading, you're imagining it as well. Now, try doing it on the screen.
Right.
You can't touch the screen, right? You can't exactly touch the screen. You're not exactly flipping the page with your hand kind of thing. And that's why the devices like Kindle and all that, we're just trying as much as possible to kind of create that that sort of experience there, right?
I mean, that also goes for writing as well. I mean, I'm sure you've heard of people who, like, you retain information better when you physically handwrite it down instead of typing, right? Yeah. So that's why even with all this technology at our disposal, you know, it is, you'll get cases of like, you have something on your screen, but you're taking notes with your, with a pen or, you know, a pen and pencil, right? Because that is actually what is genuinely proven to be more effective for overall information retention.
Correct. And that there's something to it, because your mind actually doesn't think in keystrokes.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Your mind actually already memorized the way you write.
Mm.
So what you're doing is actually activating those places in your mind that makes you remember, that makes you actually hold that knowledge in.
Mm.
Instead of a keystroke, you're trying to look at the keystroke and do it. It's not going to work that way.
Mm.
Then comes that whole, in learning and development, we talk about pedagogy. Andragogy. These are methods used to actually educate. So pedagogy is more for academic learning. Andragogy is for more for professional learning.
Mm.
And always there's this whole step-by-step learning thing, which is you first got to gain knowledge and comprehension of what you're learning. You've got to be able to apply it. You've got to figure out, okay, this is how I apply it, or someone needs to show me how to apply it. And then you've got to start creating with it. And when you start creating with it and someone validates that for you, that's when you gain expertise. Now, the problem was people were thinking, take digital learning, it's going to do all of that.
Mm.
No, it's not. Because digital learning works best for that first part. For the first part, for you to gain knowledge and comprehension. Use that YouTube analogy again, right? When you watch a YouTube video, if you're just watching the YouTube video, that's knowledge and comprehension. Mm. You would understand it, but can you do it? Not necessarily.
Yeah, right? I watch a lot of cooking videos and I'm not great in the kitchen. So, I mean, that's exactly what that is.
Yeah. But it only starts working when, let's say, you watch the video.
Mm-hmm.
It's a short video and you're like, I can possibly do this. And you start doing it.
Yeah.
That's when you start learning. Mm-hmm. That's really when you start gaining the application knowledge in there. And then after that, you're like, you know what? I like it to taste this way instead of what they're telling me in the video. That's you creating already. That's you creating. How do you validate it? You bring it to somebody else and you ask them to taste it.
Yep.
And they say, hey, good job. Nice.
I think also that's another interesting thing, right? Bringing up that tasting analogy part of the whole thing is I would argue as well that digital learning, or the way that we've been doing digital learning for a little bit, it's fairly one way in terms of the fact of, you know, you watch YouTube or you read a PDF or you listen to a podcast. It's not a two-way street. It's not the same thing of being in the classroom, being able to ask a teacher, like, I'm not sure about this problem. You know, could you guide me on this? I mean, we're slowly moving into that space now with, for example, video conferencing tools or live chats, you know, stuff like that. But it doesn't quite have that same, I would say, level of engagement necessarily.
Yes, correct. So this is why when it comes to how we use digital learning, that is important.
Mm.
So this is sort of a little bit of the story. I'm sorry, I'm plugging this in as well. But this is sort of the story of what Nicole was as well. It was initially a platform with e-learnings or digital learnings. But then we figured out, like, look, that's not the most effective way to actually develop people. And especially we're looking at our core mission is we need to create accessible learning. We need to make sure that these learnings are scalable. That means the most amount of people can actually use it, and we create more employable people. And we thought about that, and we thought about how we used to do learnings, and it always had these pedagogy and andragogy into it. That's where when we start blending digital learning with these live components, with these components that allow you to actually do something, create something, get feedback, have conversations, and use either digital learning or the platform to actually manage that process, now you're adding value into it.
Mm.
So gone are the days like you need to spend 8 hours or just an 8-hour class and then you go off. There's a problem there because you spend 8 hours and you go off. How sure are you you've learned something? How sure are you you're going to apply something? Instead, what have people moved towards with the internet that has come up? People learn in short bits and short bites. So why don't we mimic that? Why won't we take the digital learning, make it shorter, maybe 15 minutes, 30 minutes max, give them those small bites that they actually comprehend, they actually understand it. But then when they want to really use it, that's when you bring someone in front of them, whether it's in person or whether it is through virtual tools, you bring someone in front so that they get to explain, okay, this is how you use it and you get to try it.
So then
you need to kind of go on through the rest of the process, kind of build expertise. So you need a blend to kind of make it work.
Yeah. So I think let's sort of put this into context or perhaps give an example of maybe how this might work in the workplace.
Right. Okay. So example, like if someone wants to learn a particular skill, let's say it is critical thinking.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say critical thinking, right? So how we would use a blend of digital learning would be, okay, we, of course, with all learnings, you actually, this is a very important step that most people forget. You actually got to tell the person who's going to learn, what are you going to learn?
Yeah.
That's a very important thing. You got to tell the person, what are you going to learn? And what can you expect to end up with?
Mm.
So that already primes the person's mind. Now, this is where digital learning can actually help a lot because you don't need a person to say, this is what you're going to learn. This is what you're going to end up with. You can actually do that in digital form.
Mm.
So that's good. And then when you start that learning process, imagine the person starting from zero, right? And you immediately bring someone in front of them and try to do a theoretical class and try to mix in like a little bit of activities and all that. Think of 8 hours, 4 hours lost on theory, and then 4 hours only on application. You lose people quite quickly.
Yeah.
Instead, make it into small bites, that theoretical bits, right? And now because of digital tools, whether it's video, podcast, audio, STEM tools, SCRUM tools, interactive tools, you can make it a little bit more fun, that theory as well. Let that be the digital learning component. Give them those little pieces before you start the session with a person from them, an instructor, a lecturer, anybody. And the instructor then does not have to waste time going through theory anymore. They can literally say, look, you've already learned these things. Now let's learn how to use it.
Yep.
That's the core of what we're going to do. Now you don't have to spend 8 hours. You just need to spend about 2-4 hours kind of thing. Then you kind of send them off again and say that, look, go do this assignment and come back. There's another portion where digital learning helps as well because now you don't have to necessarily write things down, print out papers and all these kind of things and go and submit it in a box and all those.
Yeah.
No, you just need to download something. There's a template. You can fill up the template, do what you need to do, submit it. There's this entire digital process that helps you actually mark and give feedback and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then go back into a process where you go live with the other person and say, hey, this is what I did. What do you think about it? Give some feedback. Now you're now already in that I'm applying, I'm starting to create kind of thing. Brilliant. And then when you sort of end, you need to then follow up from there on. Here's again where digital learning helps. Once you've learned the core tool, once you've able to apply it, once you gain the expertise in it, you got to keep yourself in that remembering phase and never to forget it. So this is where this bite-sized digital learning can help you continue that process until you need to go live in front of another person again. So this is what a blend of digital and live actually looks like.
So just to wrap up the conversation now, I guess the overall question that we're trying to answer is digital learning a fad or is it part of the future? I'm pretty sure we've reached a fairly clear conclusion on that.
Yeah, it is definitely not a fad. It's definitely a crucial future. But the key thing is how it is used in the future. With anything that is new in mass adoption, there's always this figuring out how it works best. And there's always going to be new technology that comes in that kind of shifts that paradigm a little bit. I mean, we just did speak a little bit about AR and VR, and that hasn't even come fully because it's still expensive into the digital learning space, and Meta hasn't even come in yet. Mm-hmm. NFT could possibly open up a new market opportunity. We saw that possibility, and I'm going to use this reference, Fortnite, for those who are gamers and all that. Fortnite was a game. But then it became this metaverse because during the pandemic, you started doing events, you had a concert in there. So imagine now for that digital learning space when you start using all these tools in there, what's it going to transform to? But we got to always think how do we meaningfully apply it so that the person who's using it gets the most out of it. Definitely not a fad, definitely something for the future, but we always got to ask the question, how do we use this effectively?
And also to not rely on it as a panacea, as you mentioned earlier, and to ensure that it is a blended experience as well moving forward.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Thank you. That is about it for our conversation today. But thank you so much to Nagesh for speaking to me all about digital learning.
No problem. Thanks, Christine, for having me again.
You've been listening to Raise Your Game. I'm Christine Wong. I've been speaking to Nagesh Arman, the Chief Operating Officer of Nicole, which is a tech-enabled blended learning development solution born from Leadernomics. If you've missed any of today's conversation, of course, you can go ahead and download it and listen to it on our app, which is available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also head over to bfm.my to listen back to the podcast as well and indulge in some digital learning. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.